Well, good evening from me, and let me wish you all a very happy Christmas. I want to begin by sharing a very short video. This is what people searched for on Google in 2021. This is their little summary in 2 minutes of what people searched for. Well, Google says to everyone fighting to come back stronger, search on. But God this evening says something entirely different. Jonathan Sacks was the chief rabbi until 2013, and in his book called Not in God's Name, he writes this: "The 21st century has left us with a maximum of choice, but a minimum of meaning. Science, technology, markets, and liberal democracy are great achievements, but they cannot answer the questions that every reflective individual will ask at some point in their lives. Who am I? Why am I here? How then should we live? The result is that the 21st century has left us with a maximum of choice, but a minimum of meaning. Homo sapiens is the meaning-seeking animal. Who am I? Why am I here? How should I live?" Now, whatever stage of life we're at, we all ask those questions and many more. Because, of course, they're all questions, aren't they, about my identity, my worth, my meaning, my purpose, my hope. And, of course, the pandemic has brought all those questions into even sharper focus, as was picked up there by what people Googled, the questions that people Googled. Now, of course, there are some people who might say, and do say, just live life to the full, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But actually, I think, as Sacks says, most reflective individuals are troubled by those questions. How common it is, isn't it, to feel restless and not at peace, even more in a pandemic. And Christmas reminds us that human beings are made by God and are made for relationship with God. Indeed, we will not be at peace and find our true identity and purpose and meaning and indeed true community until we trust and know God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why in Luke chapter 2, in the reading we had from Luke chapter 2, we hear an angel of God bring good news to humble shepherds. The gospel writer Luke records that the angel says this: "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Why is Jesus Christ good news of great joy for all people? Yes, for the people of Buxton in 2021. And the first thing I want to say is this, that God's King, Jesus, makes God fully known. "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Now just look at, listen again to the descriptions and titles of this baby Jesus. Jesus comes as Christ, which means God's chosen King. He comes as Lord. In the Old Testament, the bit of the Bible before the Gospels, the name Lord is given to God himself. And Jesus comes as Saviour, one who comes to save, to rescue. And the good news is that this Jesus is God coming to earth to make God fully known, so that all people, whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever they've done, whatever they haven't done, can know God and be rescued. Now, that passage in Luke also reminds us that this Jesus does not just appear out of the blue. The Old Testament is a record of the one true God who makes himself known. He reveals his love and holiness all the way through the Old Testament, and he makes promises. We've already heard a number of them this evening. Let me just give you some examples of God making promises in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 3, we heard how our human ancestors rebelled against God. They doubted God's word. They doubted God's judgment if they disobeyed God. And sin and death entered this world. But God promised that one day evil and death would be destroyed. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, we didn't have this read, but 1,000 years before Jesus came, God promised that he would send his king, and his king would be in the line of David, and that his throne and kingdom would last forever. It's picked up in the prophecy from Isaiah that we had read. God promised to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then 700 years again before Jesus, God promised through the prophet Micah that his Christ, God's King, would be born in David's town of Bethlehem. So the big promise of God, right through the Old Testament, in lots of different ways, through different people, is that God's king would come to a world that had turned away from God. He would rescue sinners. He would forgive sin. He would reconcile sinners back to himself so that sinners are at peace with him. And his king would rise again from death to be the king who does live forever. He would come to restore his kingdom, and his kingdom would last forever, way beyond when this earth ceases to exist. And Hebrews 1 summarizes this beautifully. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. Now, you might say to me, and I've had people say this to me, I just can't trust a story with an angel in it. But the presence of angels reminds us that this is about the spiritual. And this world is not just the material. And Christianity is not just morality. This world is not just what we see and touch and taste and smell. If this world is just the material, then as one author so bluntly puts it, there is no author, there is no purpose, there is no meaning. We just are, at least for a little while, and then we just are not. But the good news is that God's King, Jesus the Christ, makes God fully known. And he has come searching for us. And Luke is crystal clear also that he is recording history. Yes, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Yes, it did happen on a day in history, not a day in some myth, some imaginary story, but a day Luke records as history when Caesar Augustus was the emperor of Rome and Quirinius was governor of Syria. But Luke wants us to see even more than facts. So the angel says, today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. So that prophecy to Micah is fulfilled. And the sovereign God moves the most powerful man on earth at that time to have a census, to sort out the tax system. And Joseph and Mary, who are expecting their baby, presumably in Nazareth, have to travel 3 days to Bethlehem, a town of David. So Luke's gospel does not just contain reliable facts. That's his claim at the start of the gospel. But Luke wants us to see remarkable tie-ups between the promises, the prophecies of God, and their fulfillments in Jesus. Many, many prophecies fulfilled in the person and the work of Jesus. You see, this is the God of history who makes himself fully known by sending his Son into this world. So we don't have to guess what God is like. And here is the God whose word can be trusted. Google says to everyone fighting to come back stronger, search on. And God says, no, I've sent my Son, so the searching can stop. And Luke, in his gospel, invites us to read the rest of his gospel to see the evidence that he puts forward, to read about the words and the actions of Jesus, all of which point to his identity as God's Son and King and Saviour. I want to just say that there are some gospels at the back to take. Here's Luke's gospel. Do take it and read it. Most adults have not read a gospel account of the Lord Jesus. But then there's a second reason that this is good news of great joy for all people, and that is that God's King, Jesus, offers peace to sinners. Verse 13 says in that Luke 2 reading, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom God's favour rests. And the coming of Jesus is the offer of peace to sinners. The tragic mistake that we all make as sinners is to try to find our true selves apart from God. And we make the things around us the ultimate things that give us meaning and purpose and value. And that might be at different times in our lives, or maybe a combination of our job, our family, our sporting success, our looks, our material possessions. And of course, all those things that we cling to are uncertain and unstable. And let me say that if you make following the England cricket team something that gives you meaning and significance, you're going to have a very real problem at the moment. The Bible says that trying to find our true selves apart from God will always fail, because we're made for relationship with God. And when we try to establish our lives apart from God, that is what the Bible calls sin. Indeed, the Bible says that as sinful rebels, we are enemies of God in our minds. Not that we sinners consciously are on the warpath against God. Now, most people don't feel conscious hostility to God. I mean, a few do. But for most of us as sinners, our rebellion against God is just seen in quiet rejection or simple indifference. God becomes a footnote in our lives. We simply ignore him and forget him. Even though, of course, he's made himself known in his Son. Or we say that breaking his law simply doesn't matter. You see, sin is trying to establish who I am and what I am apart from the God who made me. And subjectively, therefore, we're never at peace. There's always an inner restlessness and a big hole. God's made us that way. More importantly, God is not at peace with us. Objectively, the holy and just God will judge us. God is completely just, and he will judge all sinful rebellion against him. Yes, there is separation and distance, an alienation between God and sinners like us. God in his holiness cannot have fellowship with me in my sin. There will be judgment. But here's the good news. The good news is that God has taken the initiative. He's taken the initiative in sending his son. And his son comes to reconcile sinful people to himself, to make peace. It's not dependent on our efforts to get right with God. Indeed, there's nothing that we can do to get right with God. This Jesus comes as God's king to offer peace, and he does that as the Saviour who comes to die on the cross, bearing our sin and judgment on himself. Just listen to these words describing the death of Jesus. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men and women's sins against them. See, God offers us peace through the death of his son. He is the baby who is born to die and then to be raised to life. And through his death, we are reconnected to God and at peace with God. There is a famous picture at Catterick Army Garrison, and it is a picture of a young signalman in World War I. And he has crawled out onto the battlefield. Two wires have been severed by shell fire, and it's his responsibility to reconnect them. And as he's pictured, the picture shows him holding the two ends, and he's pushed them together, and he's shot. The picture shows him being shot as he does that. The picture is called Through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H. He dies to reconnect the two sides. And that is a very inadequate illustration of this baby who is born to die. By his death, we are reconnected with God, and we can be at peace with God with our sins forgiven. You see, sin causes a separation between us and God. The death of Jesus has brought us back together. God's King, who is alive today, can offer us peace because of his death. Sin creates a gulf between us and God. The death of Jesus has bridged it and enables us to be at peace with God. Sin breaks the relationship. The death of Jesus has restored it. Sin makes us enemies of God. The death of Jesus brings peace to sinners. And as we trust and know this Jesus, all his blessings flow from that. Only when we have peace with God, with our sins forgiven, can we begin to grow in the enjoyment of peace with ourselves and in ourselves? Because every day there is guilt, there are worries, there are threats, there are confusions, uncertainties, there's hopelessness. They all threaten our peace. Only when we have peace with God, with our sins forgiven, through Jesus' death, can we begin to grow in the enjoyment of peace in and with ourselves. So Google says to everyone fighting to come back stronger, search on. But God says, no, the searching is over because I've sent my son. And rather, he says, be reconciled. Be reconciled to me. Be at peace with me through the death of my son, so your sins can be forgiven. What glorious good news that is. We've just sung, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. God's peace and favour rest upon those who receive Jesus in their hearts, those who trust him, those who receive him. It's easy to do that, even in this last song, this last great carol that we sing, to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Please come and be my King, my Lord. There may be somebody here this evening who is ready to do that. Please do that. He will indeed enter in to your heart and be your Saviour and King, and you can be at peace with God forevermore.